Well, good evening, everybody. May God bless all here. And, it's great to be here, to be able to sing praises to the Lord. That's one thing I've missed the last couple of weeks when I've been out sick, joining with the Lord's people and singing and praying together. What a glorious position we stand in. And what a glorious work the Lord Jesus Christ has done, you know, to bring us into this position. So I wonder, can we just read from Psalm 24 tonight, please? Psalm 24. And so the object of this message for me tonight is to declare who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So who he is, what he has done, or what he has to offer. And what do I need to do to receive it? So three questions, three challenges for us, you know, to think on. To where do I stand? Where am I in the world? What do I look like when the Lord looks down upon me? Who am I? Who am I in Christ, or who am I in the world? And it's a very real question. Very real question. Where am I going? Where am I going when I leave here? What confidence or hope have I when I reach the end of my days? When I'm lying in the bed on my own? What hope have I? Where does my confidence come from? Who am I in Christ? Big questions. Big questions. You know, and it says in Psalm 24, and the heading I put on this tonight just for myself is the Shepherd King, you know. And the reason I picked this psalm was I was talking to a brother a couple of months ago, and we were talking about this, and I said it's an absolute great gospel message. And he said to me, is it? I said, yes, I truly believe that it is. It's an invite. So, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I just want to start by reading one verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So David starts off with, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. That's a remarkable statement. You know, that the earth is the Lord's. But he doesn't stop there, does he? And everything in it, every single thing, James, Stuart, everything. Everything that's in this world belongs to the Lord. Everything. Its fullness, its harvests, its sunshine, its water, its everything. Everything is his. Everything we have is a blessing from him. Everything. Whether we believe in his name or we curse his name, every single thing we have is the Lord's and is his blessing to us. You know, he starts with, the earth is the Lord's, Yahweh. the covenant-keeping God of Israel. You know, this is not some idol that has been carved. You know, David was a king of a very small nation. You know, and there was many big nations around him. There was Syria, there was Egypt, you know, bigger, stronger nations. And there was other gods there, other idols. But none of them could make this statement, that the earth is the Lord's. I find it, truly find it remarkable, you know, when you sit down and think about it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. For he has founded it. David looked back on creation account in Genesis 1. And remember creation of the land in the midst of the water. How did David know that? How did David know that? I'm sure David, the only seas or waters that David ever seen was the Mediterranean or the Red Sea. But here he's talking about the fullness. Everything. Every single thing. And the Lord God Yahweh established it and created it. I think that's who he is. That's who he is. He's the creator. He's the sustainer, as Colossians 1 would say. You know, he sustains everything. All things were created by him and for him. All things. All things. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it in the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? That's a serious question, isn't it? Who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? This is a question that used to concern mankind, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Everybody wanted to know how they could get right with God, or how they could stand in the very presence of the Lord. Today in the world, they've a totally different question. What can I do to make myself happy? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the things they're chasing. You know, they don't want to do, or they don't want to know about the Creator. They don't want to know how they can get right, or how they can stand in his very presence. You know, it's a question I'm going to ask people here tonight. You know, where do you stand? Where do we stand with the Lord? Truly. Whether we're saved, we could be saved, we could be drifting, we could be just religious, we could be just coming in here. You know, where do we truly stand with the Lord? It's worth considering. You might be listening on the internet here tonight, or this evening, or this morning. You might be 8 or 9 years old. You might be 30. You might be 50. But it's a very important question. How do I stand in the presence of the Lord? Or who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And we have in verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. That's not me. It's definitely not me. David understood all this under general principle. You know, through the old covenant that was made, the blessings and the cursings in Deuteronomy. I think it's in 27 and 28. You know, and they stood and they blessed and they cursed. You know, obedience was the Lord rewarded obedience. He did by blessing. He rewarded disobedience by cursing. But it's different today. We no longer live under that covenant, you know. But I don't want you to despair. You know, I don't want you to despair. There is a confident expectation, and there is a hope, and there is a way of ascending to that holy hill. It's because of what Christ Jesus has done. You know. Romans 3:22 says, in his righteousness given to all who believe. Romans 3:23 says, if we, oh, that's John 1. I lose my notes now. But Romans 3:22 says, in his righteousness given to all who believe, we can ascend his holy hill and stand in his holy place. You know, something very similar is said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. One of my favorite verses, or verses of all time, where it speaks about peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and access by faith to the very throne of grace. I'm going to read it now because I don't want to quote it wrong. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have a way of standing in the very presence of God. You know, the way has been made clear. The way has been made for us. You know, we often travel. I love traveling. I love driving around Ireland. It's absolutely remarkable, beautiful place. You know, even though it's under sin, I'm thankful that the Lord has shared so much beauty with us. But when you drive around, there's so much idolatry. Whether you're in Limerick, Cork, Waterford, Dublin, every corner you turn, there's a statue. It's idolatry. Or there's an Audi garage. Or there's a BMW garage. Or there's a Harley Davidson shop. And I fall into that category, you know, of idolatry. Putting something else in the place where God should be. You know, often I think of, you know, now I do read and I do study and I do, but if I had spent as much time in the Bible as I have reading about Harley Davidson's or looking at them, you know, wouldn't I be a better person? You know, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. You know, the deceiver has a way of drawing us away from the Lord very subtly. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't see it until we've grown too cold. Or a brother or a sister reminds us. We can come in here. But we're cold. We're cold. Because we haven't been spending time on God's holy hill in his presence. We forget the great cost of our salvation. What it costs to bring me into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The cost was great. Not to me, but to God and the Lord. The cost was very high. Let's not forget that. Whether we're listening on the internet or we're sitting here in the room, let's not forget the cost of our salvation. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Blessing here is the gift of salvation in my eyes. You know, I shall be your exceedingly great reward, Abram was told. You know, What else is there? What else is there? He has created all things. We are made in his image. You know, we were told about our clean hands and our pure heart. You know, our actions and our intentions. How are our actions and how are our intentions? You know, am I deceitful in my words? Whether I'm a believer or whether I'm not a believer. How are my actions? How are my intentions? How are my words? Do my words let the world and people around me know that I'm saved? Is my conduct? How is my testimony? How is my testimony amongst the world? Amongst the Lord? When he looks down upon me. How is my testimony in front of the Lord? It's challenging, isn't it? Challenge me. I tell you, challenge me. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. I want to quote Spurgeon here. He says, heaven is a generation of finders, of possessors, of enjoyers, seekers of God. But here we have a generation of seekers. You know, seek God. Seek him above all else. Leave the idolatry. Leave the oddies and the Harley Davidsons and, you know, the things that can make our hearts grow cold. You know, the iPad, YouTube. I'm terrible for this Peterson fella. You know, but I'm done with him since last week. Done with him. You know, he's too philosophical and he's explaining things from a point of view that I don't stand with. Because I'm saved and I've received the Holy Spirit. And he's a man of the world. And I should not take counsel or listen to a man of the world. I should listen to men of God. And seek counsel from them. Not from men of the world. You know, all little traps. All little traps. Whether we're saved or we're not saved. That word saved, what does it actually mean? What does it actually mean? It's a word that we use quite regularly. But what does it mean to be saved? You know, what does it mean to me to be saved? I want no answers. Excuse me? You're not condemned.
I'm rescued from a place of danger.
I'm rescued from a place of danger. I was in a place that I knew that I needed a savior. And I could not save myself. My own works could not suffice. So I must put my trust and faith in a place and a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he saves me. You know, it's a remarkable thing, you know, to be saved. Absolutely great. Verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And where could we turn to Revelation, please? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. James chapter 4, I think it's verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify our hearts, ye double-minded. I see these verses as, you know, it clearly says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I see the heart here as the place that we must open our hearts to receive the King of glory. You know, it's a decision that I must make. I must purpose my mind and my heart to receive the Lord. Open my heart to him and he shall come in. You know, I know the future of that verse, you know. Isn't it more important to have the King of Glory within than to have him without? You know, what's important? Who's important to us? Where is our life's going? What is our final destination? Where is our hope? Where is our confident expectation? I hope it's in Christ and in his finished work. I truly do. No, I truly do. Let us pray. Father, we do bow in your presence and give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just want to take this time to thank you for that great victory at Calvary. And Father, we just want to pray for those who might hear this message and they might contemplate what's being said. And Father, they too might know the joy of knowing you and knowing their sins forgiven. So we praise you and we thank you. And we ask you to take her to her homes in safety. In our Lord's name we do pray. Amen.